Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. After 5 years of planning, the Jamie Wyeth Unsettled exhibition makes its debut at the Brandywine Conservancy and Museum of Art. Unsettled showcases more than 50 fascinating and somewhat disconcerting paintings from throughout Jamie Wyeth's career. And for this edition of Arts Playlist, Delaware Public Media's Quinn Kirkpatrick and Kyle McKinnon visited the Brandywine for a preview of Jamie Wyeth Unsettled, with Wyeth and Brandywine Museum of Art Senior Curator Amanda Burden.
Well, so looking at the body of Jamie's work, and I got great access to his database, to his photographs, to images from his entire career, and I started picking out, maybe it was just personal, but it was ways in which his work made me personally feel unsettled. And along the years, I started devising these categories of people that made me feel uneasy because they were either turned away from me or staring straight at me, and I felt like I was being watched. I felt like I was being accused of something, caught doing something. There were sections, there were works where the natural world turned supernatural. Trees especially seemed to come to life. Different aspects of the animal world were elevated to kind of mythic status. And then there were also works where I thought, you know, this is in the vein of a traditional haunted house, or this feeling that you walk into a place and you're like, something's not quite right here. I mean, to me, that's a very cinematic approach, because there's establishing shots in movies where, you know, bad things are going to happen in this scene, or bad things are going to happen in that house. A lot of times I felt like, looking at your paintings, I was nervous about what comes next in the narrative.
Just to show you, it's not just based on tales and sort of supernatural stuff. I did this painting in a much smaller size 30 years ago, I think. And I noticed this tree along the Brandywine, somehow it hung on. And I thought, oh my God, I've got to go back and really sort of study it even more. And it happened to be in the property of Frolic Weymouth, who started this museum. And so to me, it really is a portrait of Frolic. I mean, there is a portrait of Frolic, which is in this museum. But this is really, and the uncanny thing is, I went and sat in my Jeep and literally painted it on the spot, this huge thing. The day I finished it, it fell over.
Wow.
It completely disappeared.
And there's the supernatural
element
yes. to it.
But that actually happened.
Yes. I didn't know that story about Frolic. And yeah. I mean, now Frolic, I mean...
And he had just died.
Yeah, I was going to say, and
so
now Frolic...
So the whole thing was just...
You were mentioning the other night at the film screening, you live with a lot of ghosts.
Yeah.
And they keep, you know, keep you well fed with subject
Absolutely.
Matter as well.
And not in the form of humans always.
Well, I mean, it matches up. You were talking earlier about, you know, not really liking people in your studio, but there are a lot of spirits there
yes,
anyway.
That's for sure. And most of my paintings really are done not with me sitting in front of an easel and with paint. They're done in bed at night, dreaming. I always keep a pad on my bed because I wake up in the middle of the night and start drawing things sometimes. And in the morning when I wake up, there's all this like leaves everywhere. And they're all kind of hieroglyphics. You really can't tell what the hell it is. But then I have the fascination trying to figure out, what was I thinking about? What was I dreaming about? And a lot of paintings have come out of just that process.
You know, it's being described, I mean, it's being presented as creepy, unsettling. With all your work in here, when you were working on those pieces and when you saw the finished product, were those some of the feelings that they elicited in yourself when you saw what you did? And how do you think that this exhibition captures what you felt when you originally did these paintings?
Well, what Amanda's done is to reveal secrets of mine. I mean, obviously I was aware of some of it, but I did not intend these things to be creepy or to be get chills up people's spines. But clearly that was part of the impetus. It wasn't all of it, but part of it. And sometimes, oftentimes, it was the most important part of it, but it was couched where it wasn't like a glaring point, oh look, isn't this scary? Isn't this a terrifying looking person? And so forth. So I'm fascinated by any reaction that people get. It always astounds me. But also thrills me when they don't get it.
I think it's part of, I'll say, your vital nature that this is a side of you, so it's natural that it appears in some of your artworks. Sometimes it takes the lead role, sometimes it's quiet in the corner.
Sure.
But it's undercurrents all over.
Yeah. You said something really interesting about when how the exhibit process can be a little jarring at times because you're seeing all the, at least the imperfections you see, you know, jump out at you. And I'm just really curious about that. When you're working on a given piece, how do you get past that part of imperfection? You know, something great and imperfect is obviously better than, you know, never being in, being released is better than something that never gets released at all, and is still, you know, great and imperfect. But how do you get past that process of perfectionism and when you know something is ready to, you know, be honest?
That's always a hard thing for me to decide, because it's usually I reach a point of diminishing return. When I'm working on something, I become completely obsessed with it. So I kind of drain myself on that, and if the imperfections are there, let them be there. But and the ones I destroy are just ones that I think are not very imperfect or something, or they just didn't work, or you know, something bothers me about it. But I always feel with a painting, once it leaves me, it has its own life. And some of the things that come out from people who think what my interpretation was, I remain silent. I just sort of nod and say, "You're right," you know. But it requires a lot.
Like when it comes to when you're like doing something together like this, and like it's a lot of, you know, just has been seen before and whatnot. What are like the biggest like obstacles in that, as opposed to like a more straightforward exhibit might be?
Some of it is finding these things all again, because he's made some of them 40, 50, 60 years ago. And so it's sort of like, where is that in the world? And that's a real detective hunt to try and track down who owned it. Now, who did they give it to? Who's their kids? What state do they live in? So that's a bizarre challenge that I think makes a curator a detective in a lot of ways.
And again, the timeline again is 5 years.
So the earliest email that I think I have about this is January 2019, where I say I've already put together the checklist. So we were definitely working on it. In 2013, I wrote an essay where I talked about his unsettled paintings, and I've been thinking about it since then. In 2008, I worked on another exhibition at another museum, and Jamie Wyeth wrote the introduction. And he wrote, the title of that introduction was The Ghost of Rockwell Kent and Me. And so I said, this guy likes ghosts? That's kind of cool, you know, and I've been thinking about that introduction of being an artist who talks about how he works with ghosts over his shoulder and you know, communing with the dead. So I've been on that track for a long time.
Thanks to artist Jamie Wyeth and Brandywine Museum of Art senior curator Amanda Burden for joining us on this edition of Arts Playlist, along with our Quinn Kirkpatrick and Kyle McKinnon. And we wrap up The Green next with Enlighten Me, where we learn more about why more people are turning to a zero-proof lifestyle with non-alcoholic drinks. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.